Diamond. We welcome those in attendance. We've got some online. Who just tell us?
Kendall.
Yeah.
We have Matt Tippett and Paul Cousins on the Google Meet.
All right. Okay, and the rest are here. We appreciate your efforts and we come. I know some people are committed to some things that make it hard. We appreciate those that are able to attend in person. Okay. We'd like to welcome some of our new people. First, Zach Levitt. You've probably all been in contact with him. He's our new program manager for the state CDT staff. We welcome him.
Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to getting to know Zach better. We also have new board members. We have Mayor Larry Jacobson from Bear River. We welcome you, Larry.
Thank you.
Forward to getting to know you. And Commissioner Matthew Tippett, who's you in a basin, and he's one that's online. So we get a picture of Matthew there.
I'm here. And thank you.
Matthew, how are you?
Very well.
Good. Okay. Anybody else we need to introduce? Everybody? All right. Next item is the acceptance of March 9th and June 5th meeting. Remember, March 9th was our regular meeting, and then June 5th was a special meeting to approve a couple of emergency projects. So they're going to have an opportunity to look through those minutes.
I'll make the motion to accept minutes as prepared.
Is that for both stats?
For both March 9th and June 5th.
All right. We have a motion to accept both sets of minutes. We have a second. Over here.
Sorry.
All right. Seeing no corrections and motions, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Sarah.
Yes.
Apologize. I didn't see the second minute.
All right. Okay. Next item is oath of office and conflict of interest. You get to put your name on the paper now. Robert, do you want to do that?
Yes.
Tell us what you need.
So for the oath of office, if you've already completed that form and turned it in, then we don't need another one. It's just a one-time thing. But for the new members who maybe have not done that yet, you'll need to fill out that oath of office form in front of the notary, and then you get that. So we have a record of everyone having done that. On the conference,
thank you. So how do we know just if we've done it before? I have you been here? I just suspect I've done it, but I'm not sure.
We should have a copy of the form if you filled it out before. So if you're not sure, you can ask for me. Because we submit those to the state archives.
Okay. So I'll check on that.
I would assume if this is not your first time, you probably, you know, within the last year or so, we've done this presentation, I guess, with the box.
We probably did.
I think almost everyone has probably heard that.
And then that conflict of interest we do every year.
Yeah, on the conflict of interest, obviously, we want to avoid any appearance of impropriety or any kind of undue influence from relationships, family, you know, any type of relationship that might appear to create a conflict of interest. If a conflict arises during your service, it needs to be disclosed. It's helpful, though, you know, once in a while, to go ahead and fill out this form, this conflict of interest form, just to kind of think about the business interests you may have or other relationships that could potentially lead to conflict of interest. So, So we just ask everyone to fill out the form and turn it in, and then obviously throughout the year, if anything comes up, if you think maybe a conflict, please disclose it and let us know, and we can look at it. Any questions about that?
There are two that are online. You can just make it a conflict of interest form to us.
We just
I think that any new members who are online with the oath of office, just go ahead and go have that signed in front of the notary and then submit it. You can email it to us and that'll be, it doesn't have to be done here.
I have a question. I'm an elected official. Is that considered a conflict? Even though I have no financial.
Yeah, everybody's kind of in the same thing. So it depends.
Okay.
If there's a project that involves your.
Yeah, I would just recuse myself.
Yeah.
Okay. If you need to know that, or it doesn't matter.
Well, we know who you are and who you represent.
Okay.
So, yeah, it would come up. Those would be more on the case.
Okay, thank you.
Does the conflict then just need notarized?
No,
it shouldn't. I don't give it to you. Or
oh, okay.
And then it's going to take.
Yes, it's
yeah,
we'll
do that. I'll check on that.
Okay. Any questions on that?
You need AOGF to put those out. Or are we doing that separately? Or I remember when they had a bus go out for training and ranking. Are we doing that today?
No, you'll do that when you're ready to do a train and rank project. Yeah.
Call me the conveniences for them.
Okay. You can get all that. Everybody can square around. You need a minute. Let me give you a minute.
I'm back. July of 2025.
Oh, oh, where it straddles the year, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I have to think it through every time.
Yeah.
So what's your take? What's your discussion? If we were to choose a new method, we would need to form a subcommittee to look at it. About 2 years to do that last time. And a lot of discussion, a lot of great input. It was an interesting process. This method, I think, has worked very well. Some things we possibly could do is if we needed to evaluate those percentages, that might be one thing we could look at, or if people have an idea. So what's your thoughts, Ford? Yes.
Is this broke?
Yeah.
You say it is?
No.
Yes, it is.
No, to my,
if not, so why change it? Why go through that process again?
Any thoughts, those of you involved at the state level, would there be any reason to look, and I'm not proposing this at all, just a question, would there be any reason to look at those four categories and percentages? Has that changed enough that some of those need to be changed, or are they still fairly solid? You ALG people that work with this, what's your thoughts on that? Okay.
I was just going to say it's in statute for CDBG that we have a method of distribution that is reviewed annually. And so that's why we review it annually. There's no indication that it's actually broken. But like Kendall said, I think maybe it's a good idea to evaluate what your percentages are for these factors, especially the pre-1980 housing, which we know, you know, is just pretty static, or it's lowering the percentage. Because the housing that is pre-1980 is becoming unusable at some point, right? So a discussion maybe on the percentages of how you're weighing these factors in the future.
What we don't want to happen is to get a last minute, we want a new method of distribution and not have time, because we only need twice a year. We need in the spring and we need in the fall. And so if it is something that you want us to look at, we can do that, but we would like to have a work group put together. We would start the process now and then bring whatever we come up with to the board in the late March, early April meeting. If that is something you want us to do.
Would we need a committee to look at the numbers, or could staff do that?
Take a look at the numbers and see what has changed compared to where it was 3 years ago. And get a report back to you
on whether we need to look at the different percentage distribution.
Just based on what the changes have been over the past 3 years since the last time we looked at it. Yeah, we could take a look at that and then see if they've changed in a significant amount. But like Jen said, if we want to go that route, we probably still need that working group just to make sure that we're doing this not last.
Yeah. Which we'd have time to do that and discuss it in our March, April meeting.
Correct.
So we had a motion to just maintain the same. Is that correct?
Yeah, I make that motion.
Takes it percentages and everything.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
All right, we have and that would be for 3 years, right? We do it in 3 year increments.
No, so we're not involved. We can't call for a motion on the next
discussion.
It was just a discussion to see if we were going to have to ask for a motion in the
March meeting.
But if you don't want a group getting together to look at this, then we will just put it on the agenda for March as is, and
at that point, then we'll approve it for 3 more years.
Yes.
Is everybody, is that the consensus of the group?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would agree with that. I just noticed on there, it is just a discussion. We can't take action.
Yeah.
My thought would be just to add an additional 3 years right now, but yeah, we can't do that. So
okay.
Let's plan to do that in March, make sure it's an action item, and we'll take care. I don't know if there's any reason to crunch numbers.
I think it's worked pretty good. I mean, Mountland always comes up to the short end of that, but with our numbers, just because what we got there. But yeah. I mean, you can't do anything about that.
Yeah, I think I don't know. And we had this discussion for years and years, and I think it's,
it was fun.
Yeah, I think it's worked out really, really well for the last whatever, 5 years, 4 or 3 years, whatever we have in there.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Next item, CDBG 2024 application policies and procedures. That's the book, correct?
Please, we have time to pay. I'll park you off.
Anybody know where this barn is?
It is just outside of, yeah, the Capitol Ridge National Park.
That's beautiful.
You can see it right from the road when you're driving or from Capitol Ridge.
Okay, Zach, I guess you're on for this. Give us a rundown of what's changed and what's.
Yes. Let's see. In this area, you guys calling up those changes.
It says here you got a one-page summary.
Floating. Did we not print the summary?
No, because I was silly and didn't get it into the packet.
Okay.
We're just going to put it up online.
Let me.
And I'll go over it. Did you take a picture of that?
No, somebody was
going to.
I think it's going to be a long time.
Do you have that same year email?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm hoping next year we can do something a little special. Some of the monitoring and other things that we have to do in order to meet the requirements that
I thought everybody would have.
We'll just bring actual projects that aren't parking lots.
Your mail gets yours. You have contractors that want on board. been 3 months.
Devastating.
Okay. If you go on their website, because you can have a number in 5 days and work in the federal government.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't work.
Engineer, that you're not charging the time of your engineer
onto the CDBG fund. So, no, I have never, and it has not been required by HUD to clear an engineer.
It is required by HUD to clear the engineer.
We'll clear it. Well, in order for procurement, to follow procurement and get a cost statement, if you're still getting that EMI number, that's fine.
Okay.
We don't have to have it actually. Because we do know it's taking a long time.
Okay. But is it generally required to follow the procurement? Okay.
Yeah. We have, and to some of the same engineer does a lot of the different projects. He's very familiar with what they're doing. And this kind of ran into a problem that you're time to it around and you lose the work season while you're waiting for the
Yeah.
It's okay.
I mean, you've got a bunch of.
Moral of the story, just keep us in the loop and we can work with
Proton's.
I mean, like, I don't know how good we'll be, but I'm certainly looking forward to trying.
Yeah. All right, going on.
All right, let's see. We're so
part three.
So we had a clarification language on maintenance and repairs in chapter 3, page 7. Added some language on continued use requirement or change of use requirement, period of affordability on that same page in chapter 3. Updated the grantee list to include the 2023 projects. Just so that way people can see who's been funded in this past year. Sarah, what is MBEWBEP? Is that minority business?
Minority business.
Perfect. That's something that HUD's been asking us to really start taking a look at and implementing that federal policy better. So we added some stuff in there, and then we are working as a division across all of our HUD programs to work that better into our system.
I do have a question. I know many of our construction companies ask, where do I go to find these Section 3?
Yeah.
Is there a good place to refer them to?
So that is what I was referring to when I said as a division across all our HUD programs, we are taking a look at how to do better. For now, in the book, we have a list of what we have on file.
Okay.
But as far as like a much more accessible, much easier to use, far less painful system, we are going to be coming up with something in the next little while. And then the next thing we added in Chapter 7 was the Buy America, Build America, or Build America, Buy America requirements for procurement in Chapter 7. Yeah, Sarah's holding up the book for that's the Section 3 that we have on file.
Yeah, she's ready for this.
That's this?
Yes, that's what that book is.
Yeah.
That's in Chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
And then we updated procurement information in Chapter 7 to talk about the simplified acquisition threshold. Julie or Sarah, and state, what's MA contract stand for?
Oh, I apologize. The multi-award contract.
Okay.
So the simplified acquisition threshold is a purchase less than $250,000. It's a federal limit that we can still use the small purchase procedure if we're purchasing one item or a set of items that is underneath $250,000. We want to simplify procuring those items by using state multi-award contracts through state purchasing. So, for example, we just had a recipient of funding last year who is doing park upgrades, and so he was able to do the state MA small purchase application for procurement of
getting electrical run to the lights in the park because it was a purchase of less than $250,000. That doesn't mean that David Bacon doesn't fight, so David Bacon's still tied, but he didn't have to necessarily go out to bid and get those competitively because those are purchased under $250,000.
Okay. Perfect. And then, like I mentioned, we added a list of the small and women-owned businesses. That's that big, giant spreadsheet at the end of Chapter 7.
Yeah, and that well, that came from SAM.gov. So yeah. we can post this on our resource page, for our publications page for CDBG, but also directions on how to pull this because it's really easy. SAM.gov is complicated to get registered in there, but once you get registered in there, we have a fully comprehensive list here of minority business, veteran-owned business, women-owned businesses that all have been vetted through SEM.gov. And so the output of that system is really fantastic. We had a list last year in our grantee handbook that had like 5 or 7 businesses. But now that SEM.gov is up and running, we have a 19-page list. And so what I recommend is there's cities, this is sorted by cities, and if you're going out to procurement or talking to your folks at your how to apply workshops about procurement, use this list, find the ones that are in your city or in your area and ensure that they are getting the opportunity to respond to a bid. The SAM.gov registration for UI is super complicated and I hate it, but the outcome is really good.
The people on this list, are they self-reporting to SAM.gov? Is that how they're generating that list?
Yes, they identify and they provide evidence. So there is a vetting process that SAM.gov has people go through. And you would not believe the amount of information that SAM.gov asks to get that activation, that registration activated. But we do have this appendix A that steps through this is also on our publication website, all the stuff that is needed, tax returns and ownership and all that stuff for these businesses. And so that list for the small minority women-owned businesses and things like that is going to be a really great resource in helping us fulfill that federal requirement.
So they're making this information available. If you're doing a project, the idea is that you give them an opportunity to bid. Yes, I quickly looked through some of the cities in Wasatch County. The business title wouldn't pertain to anything we're doing, but anyway, you give them the opportunity. On top of that, though, do they want, because you got it in the appendix and whatnot, do they want CWD to get out and encourage minority and women-owned businesses and veteran-owned businesses to register?
So HUD is really cracking down. The federal government is really cracking down on women and minority-owned businesses and Section 3. Before, we used to just ask during a pre-con meeting, are you going to have any Section 3 workers or business and minorities and for women-owned businesses? And we used to just put on a form, no. And we used to report in the system, nope, we don't have anything. But now HUD's coming back and saying, okay, you've been saying no for all of these years.
You gotta have some.
What are you doing to actively look and try to get these types of businesses? Like create jobs for Section 3 workers, create jobs for women and businesses, giving them an opportunity to apply to a special project.
Go ahead.
Is this list going to be updated continually then?
Yes.
Is there a way to get to it?
I was just going to ask, could we make the list available as a separate document instead of just embedded in the application handbook?
Absolutely, but our application handbook is available electronically, remember.
It's true, but really it doesn't get updated. If I download the application handbook, I have to scroll through 90 pages to get to.
Now, you don't need to scroll, you just use the table of contents on the web.
He's saying once we approve this today, it won't get updated. Is that what you're saying, Ryan?
Right.
We'll be providing the list.
we are looking at.
Where an electronic version, electronic version will be the latest issue.
If it was an Excel spreadsheet, we could print labels and mail stuff.
You are exactly 100% right. Yes, I mentioned that we'll put it on our publications page, just a standalone document, and also instructions on how to pull it yourself. It's super easy. You don't need SAM.gov, you know, log in or anything like that. I don't know how many have logged in to SAM.gov. You have to get a verification code on your phone every time you log in. What a pain in the butt. You don't even need that to get this list, to get to this list. So I will make some instructions how AOG reps and your little cities that are trying to manage all of these regulations can easily pull down a list specific to their area, right? So you're not thumbing through the 19-page document. But we will definitely do our best to make that resource available at your fingertips.
Well, and I noticed the one, COVID one was an information company, apparently all night. I don't know. Does it say on here whether it's a woman or a minority or a veteran or? Where does that designate?
I think I just pulled up for all of the above. So as long as if HUD ever came in and said, show us the proof that you have provided an opportunity for small and women-owned businesses to apply for your work, for your RFPs funded by CDBG, you can pull out this list and say, you know, we were provided this list by the state office. There wasn't anybody in our area and sourcing services like that from outside our area was exponentially more expensive, right? Because they have to pay for travel and they're paying their folks per diem. And so, you know, as a community, we made a decision to source this from folks in our area. In the future, we'll use this list, always check, see if there's providers, construction service providers or engineer service providers that are in our area that are on this list that we can invite to it. But right now, this is
so is there ever going to be an audit to come and say, okay, you did invite these, you should have?
We already have to explain. So every year we have to do an annual action plan, and we have to do a consolidated annual action plan. It's a report that we have to submit to HUD every year. And in that, we have to say, you know, we didn't have any Section 3, we didn't have any women in my minority-owned business. What did we do to market to those types of companies or people? And what are we going to do in the future to try to get them on board? So we have to provide HUD information every year. That I asked that to watch some Section 3 training videos. There's some guidance from HUD on things that states can do to better market. There's some information that other states have put out to help that have come up with ways to better market that they're sharing with other states. So that's looking at all of that.
And in addition to what Sarah was talking about, as a division, we're looking at other resources that we can either borrow and appropriate from other sources or create ourselves to make this as painless a process as possible for fulfilling that HUD requirement.
Yeah. By looking at this, I can't tell whether what type of, whether it's women, minority,
and we can add that in if you'd like.
There's a column on that. That was COVID's got to
their column.
There are excavation companies that are on this list that might be interested in some of the projects we do.
Yeah, if we can pull those reports.
Yeah.
We would provide a list like this for each of those. I just didn't honestly have the time to do that. Pulled all of those factors together, but I was really excited that we have 19 pages of opportunity there, where before we only had maybe one or two pages. And it generally was in our grantee handbook, but Zach and I were talking about it, and we decided that having it in the application handbook and the grantee handbook would benefit folks since we are moving that procurement process forward in the application process. So we'll provide it both, but we'll do a better job of providing that out for what minority type of factor that we are looking for, and also making it more readily available on our resource page.
Is there a way to put the type of business, like some of these names, I don't know whether they're construction or they're...
Yeah.
I mean, is there a way to...
That's what I'm saying. You can't tell, but we will be adding that in specifically in on our online versions, and then if you'd like, we can put that in for the grant you can
get
But even if it's a business that's, for example, one was sounds like they made signs or something by the title of the business. Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to do with the sewer line replacement.
We'll still have
to send them an invite, even though they're
only the businesses that might pertain
to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reach out to the small businesses and minority-owned businesses or the type of job that you're looking for in your local area. So you need to make sure that your funds are going to your local area before you kind of reach out.
What do they define as local area? What's the range of that?
It's the area of where the project is located.
What's the
local area? Just to clarify, can we just put out our bits like rules and by truth that we're giving an open opportunity to everybody? And does that not count for me? We have to specifically target those that are
You can also put in your bids that minority-owned businesses are encouraged to submit.
Do we have to specifically target those businesses or can we just put it out like normal?
We need to target them. Yeah, because that's what we've been doing is we've just been putting it out and just saying we don't have it. And HUD's like, we're not going for this anymore. And you can't just say, no, we didn't have any. What are you doing to target? Yeah.
And I mean, like, it's just treated like a regular bid. They don't have to special concessions
once they bid.
Unless I'm wrong, Kelly.
That's right.
That is correct.
It's just they have to be
an opportunity.
Another law we can do is a lot of strings that come with it. That's okay.
All right, where are we at up here, Nate?
We are not Nate. Zach. I'll first call him anything but late dinner.
There you go. The next is making updates in the Appendix B to include new screenshots on how to post your public notices or public hearing notices on the public notice website. We also now have to put these on the DWS website for us specifically. But we just included instructions in the advanced ones. And then updates to Appendix C, just new income definitions for family, income definition form, and family definition of income. Yeah, that is the appendix.
Yeah.
We just updated those figures. And then we did get an updated list of interpreters, right? Okay. Yeah, who's on contract?
Yes, yeah,
no. Okay. Any questions?
So far. When you brought up the electric project, we were referring to Denison, to the Golden Bear.
Yeah.
So they had other components to their project.
Yeah.
Outside of that, but their project went over the 250 mark. So if that specific component is under 250, then do the other components of the project still have to align by the Golden Bear, but that piece doesn't?
Well, that's a good question.
If like Dave is mistaken, if CDBG is going into a project, right, then that entire project is governed by the regulation. Dave is mistaken, ERR, Build America, Buy America.
But to do the whole project, you can do it.
Are you talking about their equipment purchase?
We don't start to build that project on any project in general, right? I'm just wondering if one component can be separated from the other, but it sounds like you can.
Yeah, I think Ben's right. I think you have a threshold set. You can apply for a waiver, saying it's the minimum portion, and we'll talk about that at the grantee workshop, but yeah, that's a pretty strong threshold set by them for the MOBA. Good question, though, Shay. I'll come assessment.
Yeah, ask questions. Keep us on our toes. We'd
right?
like to learn more.
And thank you for all the feedback on that list for small businesses. They'll do better.
You've already done a lot. I mean, that list is a huge asset for the applicants because that's always a question we get is how do I reach out to these people? And the list, you know, the self-reported list back in 2020 drops down to, I think we have 5.
Right.
Something like that on it for the whole state. And so it's good that Sam.gov's getting their act together, and it really helps that we're making them more available and handled. So thank you.
So Kelly Jorgensen, do you guys know Kelly? He comes to a lot of our meetings. He is our HUD rep. Can you
tell
me anything you can do about the
spam.gov
and the amount of time it takes?
Or that since it's a national issue, I can try.
Is that still under GSA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
we're
doing
it. And we do get a lot of complaints.
I wish they would at least have, like, an ability to let states contact and escalate, maybe, because when there's issues, they get issued a ticket and a caseworker. But oh my gosh, those caseworkers are hard to get a hold of. They don't really help the process. And Sam.gov won't talk to anybody but the organization about it. So, you know, Tamara has poor little, you know, Castledale over here, and they've got a little teeny tiny contractor who's ready to walk away because it's so difficult to get anybody to help him figure out what Sam.gov still needs from him. Like, we aren't going to be able to do a project. They are willing to walk away. It's only $130,000, but they're like, we just can't get our issue resolved in Sam.gov, and it's taken more time than it's worth than to do this whole $130,000 project. So there's just, you know, just a way that we could help intervene somehow and say, okay, Sam.gov, these people aren't understanding what you're missing. How can we help communicate to these small business owners that only are doing their books, you know, 3 hours at night, once a week or something? What can we do to help facilitate? Not a workaround. We don't want to circumvent anything, but we want to help facilitate.
Well, the other problem is time they get it through, they lose the construction season.
Right?
By their way.
Thank you.
It is hard in rural communities to build because our stock is so small of people that they can't wait. Cannot wait, walk away, we do a bigger project than we can water production service.
Yeah. You can come up with a good contract.
Okay. Or at least get
some. We'll do our best. Thank you. But I'm not taking credit for
that. I mean, like, it's GSA. I'll tell a horror story another time.
Sure, Kelly has some too.
I'll give you credit. I'll give you all the credit. We'll throw a party. And take for either.
Don't use CDBG money to do that, though.
We'll find some state admin money.
It's probably donations.
Right?
Will you talk about why, like, what public notice on DWS website? What is that? And, like, the public notice and hearing policy hasn't changed again, has it? Or is that just bring to the newspaper posting?
So the DWS website is for us internally, to meet our requirements that as an agency, our policies. You get that right, Jen, right?
Yeah, so DWS put out policy and procedure that for public notice postings that all of our divisions have to follow within the Department of Workforce Services. And it's just, all it is instead of just posting our information internally when state staff post, we can't just use the public meeting notice website anymore. We also have a landing page on jobs.utah.gov that we post our agendas, our meeting minutes, all of this stuff has to be.
Okay, so applicants don't have
no.
to do that.
That just applies to us. It's just for the school.
Sure.
Stuff we have to do to make you look good.
Our policy needs to be part of everybody else's policy. So
it's up there, but we'll do the work for you. It is not additional work okay, for you or your grantees. I promise.
Yeah. And when we talk about those changes for that.
Yeah, recommended.
Yeah. Just to put on your radar for discussion in March. Sarah?
Sorry, I was asking for these changes to be done in this list. We did not do them yet.
We have not done them yet. Oh, okay.
Shall we discuss them here and then if we make the motion to pass this bill? Yes. Does it take you in?
Yes.
Okay.
We would like you to consider these.
For the final version.
Yeah. Okay. So in Chapter 4 under Section 8, applicants
This is talking about single family housing rehab. We have it in our policy. I misspoke because Tamara asked me about this, and I asked her to change her policy because I didn't think I couldn't find it in our policy, but it really was. So I had her change her policy. There's nothing in HUD policy that says applicants may only participate in a program only once in a lifetime. And then when we were reviewing this granted handbook, I'm sorry, Tamara, totally my fault. I found it, and there's nothing that HUD requires that a participant can only participate once in a lifetime. That was a self-imposed threshold that is not benefiting our elderly and disabled clients who live in those pre-1980 housing units. Which are going, so when we go in and do single family housing activities, we are only addressing issues to bring that I only had one cup of coffee today, but up to standards, up to living standards, right? Sometimes they have black mold because their roof has been leaking, and we only address the wall that the black mold is on and the roof, and then, you know, 10 years later, their plumbing connection to the sewer lines go out, and they need help again, and it's really restrictive to have once-in-a-lifetime threshold in there.
So you asked him to take this item 2 totally out?
Yes.
Or reword it?
No, no, sir.
There's no problem with striking it?
There is no problem. I sent Zach some directly from HUD sites about these two items, and there is no HUD regulation that we impose these type of limits in our...
What's your thoughts, Trinity? Okay, let's eliminate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so when we vote on the book, that'll go out.
Yes,
we will fix that. I will fix that as soon as this meeting is over.
Okay. And then the next one in chapter 4, item 5, that the, what's that? Talking about manufactured home.
Yeah.
We historically limited ourselves to CDBG participation of 750, 7,500.
Right.
And just with the way everything's going up, we're wondering if we could increase that amount.
Any suggestion what amount would be appropriate?
Would you go double to 20,000?
20,000?
I would suggest taking that limit off of there. Now, anything over 20,000 in single family housing rehab is going to bring in Davis Bacon requirements. Mm-hmm. So,
our 20,000, 19,000.
Right.
But, I mean, that's not. Getting a bath or something. Like
not that. Anymore. You can hardly do plumbing for that cost, you know, and especially if our manufactured homes is part of our permanent housing stock, it's in a mobile home park and it's, you know, not, it still has the wheels, but it's got skirting around it. It's connected to utilities and people are using that as affordable rentals. We need to do our due diligence in ensuring that it's got the maybe 5 or 8 years ago, that 7,500 was a lot, but in this current climate for construction services.
So do we want to eliminate this again, take D off too, or change the amount?
Change the amount, because if you take it all the way off, it changes the way you're going to bid it. Over 20,000, correct?
Is it 20,000 total CDBG participation or 20,000 overall? Or that period of things?
All in North Central Family Health to be cast, but not. Unless it hits 20,000.
Unless it hits 20,000.
Well, you indicated most of ours were coming in around
20,000.
Yeah. So, in the Davis Bacon, there are single family rehab people.
I don't believe so. I think we only have it. Yeah, we have to look at it, but most of ours are 20.
That's what you told me just before the meeting.
Yeah.
We're a mobile home now.
Oh, not mobile home.
Yeah,
now. These
not
are
regular
homes.
Oh,
so this is specifically
home.
For manufactured housing. So a roof on manufactured housing is not going to cost $10,000 as it does in a standard single family home, right? You're talking about retar or maybe new metal.
but you won't reach $20,000, but it is really hard to get work done funding on a mobile home or otherwise a single family home for $7,500.
But let's why not just make that
$19,999?
Yeah, exactly.
$19,999.
That's a motion.
I'll say. But am I entertaining motions?
And then when we make the motion to approve the book, that would be
different.
How does everybody think of that? $19,999 for the limit on that. Yeah, it's item B.
So in the motion, it would be all of these changes that we've made to the book, and then we would also include eliminating that section 2, the ones that are lifetime participation, and the
updating
to $19,999 or less than $20,000.
Yeah.
Okay. That help, Rena?
Okay, anything else in here? You could send us this out later, and then we can back it back through the book and see where we're at. Okay, anything else on this? Anything else you want to point out in the book? Does anybody have any questions on the book?
That's it so far, I believe.
Okay.
I do have one question. If we do find lead at one of these single-family homes, do you have some recommended pieces to eliminate that? We just try to find it locally. Are there some lead?
So the regulations for lead abatement does require a registered and
certified
folks to remove that lead. So there are thresholds for us, so let's talk.
Okay. 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 Do they have UEI? Not just
they do not need to have UEI.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll make the motion to accept the policies and procedures as presented.
With the change in the talked
as presented. Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? See none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? You guys online, you get all of this?
Matt is nodding.
Okay.
It looks like maybe we lost Paul.
Seconded was Fanny.
Rena, did you get that first and second?
First here, second over here. Okay. We're moving along. We just stopped break for lunch because I don't think we're ready for lunch.
Yeah, lunch will be here in a little while.
So let's move down the agenda. Look at the how to apply work summary.
Okay.
ALG reps, is that what you have scheduled? Is it correct on here?
We have.
Jessica, do you have that reserved? Do you need help getting that reserved?
No, we've got the
reserve. Okay.
Other ALG reps? The how is my work job schedule? Is that look good to you?
Hey.
You've already assigned staff, right?
Yes.
You plan on attending all
of these? Yes, I'll be at all of them, and then Sarah will join me for Southeast 6th County, Bear River, and Uinta Basin. And then Nicole will be joining me for WFRC Mag and Pipkin.
Do you get to come to us?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then if there are certain sections of the book that AOG reps would like a staff to cover, just let staff know. They're happy to do that.
Well, I'll be reaching out to you here soon to talk about trying to kind of go over any questions you might have from the book, give you a couple days to look at it, and then we will, we can, if there's something you want us to cover or there's questions you have, be happy to take a look there.
We will probably talk about procurement. We did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just there.
It was that one hard enough.
We recommend that all AOG reps have face down because it's so important.
Buddy.
Yes. Okay, here's another reminder for all of you, AOG staff.
For the AOG staff, so just a reminder to let you know that if any of your applicants is not able to attend your own workshop, they can attend another region's workshop. Make arrangements with the rest of the AOG to let them know that somebody from your region will be attending. However, remind them that rating and ranking that will be discussed at your region's workshop does not apply to them.
Thank
they
you,
will need to contact their own rep to find out the policy. So that's just a reminder, and also a reminder that you own the workshop. So the advertising and inviting people is your responsibility, not the state.
Okay. Any further questions on that item? Okay. Policy committee member term information. That's this sheet, right? Those are the terms of our elected officials.
Expiring, their terms expire in December of 2024, and it's just it's a process to get it's a process to get it approved. We need bios, we need recommendation letters. They have to be put through the governor's office for approval. It can take a while, so we just have to talk about those. Terms that are expiring, so it looks like.
So Danny, you're.
Yeah, my turn. Yeah. Danny, and then also
Scott.
Yes.
Also and Paul is online, right?
We just
rejoined us.
And just a reminder, you policy committee members can serve on this board as long as you remain an elected official. You just have to have a new recommendation letter and have to submit the information for
that. Who does the recommendation letter need to come from?
The AOG board.
AOG board.
Mm-hmm.
So do your meet with your individual board.
I'll be reaching out to each of the boards next month, each of the AOGs next month to remind them.
Those three that need
to get that conversation started so that way we can get them skewed up for November, hopefully. So. Or
reappointment. Maybe it includes on that a little gift for the governor, so you'll approve it.
I mean, like, if you do not travel so much, it might work better, but he's a traveler, so, all right.
That's a great campaign.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Any questions on that? CDBG yearly program schedule. That's this one.
You want to do it another time, right?
Yeah,
actually, okay. So the 2023-2024 program year schedule is just something that we create for the policy committee members and AOG reps, just the timeline of the CDBG program. The top rows that are in light gray, that's all stuff that has already happened. So if you look down for October, November, so how to apply workshops, AOG has how to apply workshops, and then October, November, December, AOGs and applicants prepare applications and conduct income surveys. November, December, January, applicants prepare their 2024 program applications. In November, state staff, if you do have a slum and blight project, state staff have to be notified by the end of November. You have to go on site to make sure that it is on for blight.
And is that on November 24th, that date, right?
2024.
Should be 23,
yeah.
Right?
Yep, you should all be 23. Yep.
Well, your 131-24 for applicants is fine.
That should be November 20th. November, December, January applicants, cities and counties need to hold their first public hearing.
By January 24th.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we'll change the information we send that out to you, but
that's after we have done it. This will get out by the
January 31st, the application deadline for initial application. Starting in January, AOC began working on their 2024 annual action plan. So this is going to come in after this policy committee meeting. So all of the AOCs plan on staying to meet with us. So we're going to be talking about that.
It should be a short conversation. We'll get down for
And the grantees must end their 50% of their prior grant by January 31st. Again, if that is an issue, just reach out, let us know. February, state staff and meet with the AOG reps to review initial applications and provide feedback. February, March.
So that is a whole group review, individual meetings with each AOG staff.
We're going to do individual.
So in that time frame, okay.
Yeah, so we've got an application checklist. That we will meet with state staff to review it to make sure that it's updated and ready to go. That checklist, staff will schedule a meeting with AOG reps to review the checklist to make sure that they understand it. It's the checklist that AOG reps use to help grantees submit their application, their initial application. And then once initial applications have been submitted after the January 31st deadline, then state staff meet with each of the AOGs individually to review all of the applications that have submitted, and the AOGs use that checklist to say, we're missing this, or I have a question on this, or I have a concern with this. We use the same checklist and provide state staff notes. At the end of the meeting, the AOG rep gets that checklist back. They're then supposed to share the checklist with the grantee so the grantee is aware of the
issues they might have
before final application submission.
Okay.
In May 31st. Yep. March, final regional annual action plan for due. Then start in March, they're due April 1st.
So the application checklist is the very last.
We took it out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I think I
accidentally
dropped it.
So we'll update that.
Yeah, we'll update that.
And then AOG submit their rating and ranking decisions to the state by April 30th. Staff will look those over, make sure that they're in compliance with the national objectives, all the HUD regulations. He'll give the AOG reps the okay before to go online for public comment for 30 days. And then in April, we'll hold the 2024 mandatory grantee workshop. And then by May 31st of next year, grantees will hold their hiring period.
We're coming right up on how to apply workshops. Do you have any indication at all on what kind of money we're going to be looking for in the program either? I know that's not finalized.
We usually base it on 5.5 million. That's like a standard. We base it on that, but we'll then we add in reallocated funding from the prior year.
And you never know sometimes because it's going generous.
Yeah.
Oh, and you.
Yeah.
But that would be Congress. Okay, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, 5.5. That's
so we're kind of to anticipate kind of what we had the last current
year. We did have a lot of reallocated funding this last time. We had over $300,000 that was not spent from the previous year, so we did have a lot to reallocate. I'm hoping that we don't have that much because one of the only reports that HUD really does for the CDBG program as far as how well states are doing in spend down. And when we're reallocating funding, we're going to lose our rate in where we are nationally. So it's not good to have to reallocate funding.
Do we have any clue how much that reallocated might be because of this problem we talked about earlier in the meeting about engineers and contractors and
the
union? Yeah, that stuff. They couldn't get it done because they.
So that's, I mean, like, if applicants are working with us and communicating with us and we're seeing that there's, like, things just beyond their control, we don't necessarily pull those funds back. We would rather do a contract extension and finish the project. But if a project is finished or something's happened and we can't engage with the project, then those are the funds we'll capture back in. I don't know where we're at with that. Okay.
Most of the reallocated funding from last year was from people down. We got a lot of money back and we just not spent.
Well, and we do have some areas we put maybe double the money into the single family housing rehab this year because we didn't have applications to award that to. And so we'll see what that spend down is. But we did have one contract that I know of that got hung up on the procurement and couldn't and decided not to move forward with their project. So I think that was fluff. So we canceled that one. And that UEI is a problem. Procurement impacts folks. But on the other hand, I think doing procurement before awards is going to help because we have a more reliable and accurate estimate for what the budget's really going to be. Whereas before we were like scrambling to be able to pay for it, right, Danny? Because we had an estimate that was old or it was not reliable. And I think our procurement will help balance out whatever we're not spending because now our projects are more solidified before awarding, before rating and receipt.
How many of the regions have single family? This is the first year Mountain Line's done it. 5 of the 7 have it now.
And one of is that reallocation that Jan is talking about, it's not the state has pulled back funding. It is unextended funds after the term of the contract, and grantees are not able to spend whatever is left over from their contract. And that's the reallocation that Jan is talking about. That in the history that I've been here, the state has never taken that fund unless it's a think that you know violating the terms of the cost rate, but it's very rare.
I got one more thing, and I brought it up last term too. Since that feeling is kind of bragging about CIB, it's tough when somebody gets they go in for funding, and then the job comes back. And it's twice as much as, and it's been doing that a lot more in the last 2-3 years. And so they can't come back and say, hey, I need more money, but it does happen at CIB. So I don't know how we can look at that, especially with this reallocated funding. If there was someone who could help the people who that come up short because of just costs.
So the reallocated funding right now, it goes into the overall pot going through the method of distribution split between regions people. We don't.
Oh, I'm not asking for it in specifically. I'm just asking if they could look at if there's certain jobs that are out there that need more funding to finish up. They've run out of money because it costs more than what they had put in for a grant if they could get it. Yeah.
One of the things that, Jan does to reallocate the funding is looking at projects that can spend the old funding first and quickly. We cannot have old funding just sitting there in IGIS that is unspent. So if we give it to a construction project and we know how construction projects can take the whole 18 months or even an extension, we're not going to reallocate the funds to them. We'll reallocate it to something like equipment purchase or people that can draw the funds quickly. Because as long as there's old funding in IBIS, how can they look at it and say they're not spending their time?
You don't need that much more. Okay.
So, we could possibly look at if other areas, other AOGs, other regions are okay with using unspent funds for a project. I mean, we could look at all kinds of things. It just depends on what the board wants to do. Do regions want to lose potential funding to help fund a project in another area?
They do a proposed reallocation. They lose it that way.
Yeah.
They get it back, though. I know a piece of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If, say, you've got a project in Sixth County that bought a vehicle before it started our clearance, that project is no longer eligible. So we are going to take that $100,000 and we're going to reallocate that next year because that project's no longer eligible. We have to cancel the contract. Would Sixth County be okay if Five County had a project that went out to bid and they were awarded $200,000, but now this project is $300,000. Would you want to give that full $100,000 over to help fund the project in Five County instead of putting it back, hold on, in the overall cost?
They need to brag, but not to Five County.
That's why we do it.
Yeah. Now, you guys are traveling the same direction after this meeting on the same road for quite a few miles. I don't know if you really wanted to tell us that.
We'll stagger the release
time. Here's what another option, because some of our areas say if there's extra allocation left over in their region that cannot be spent on another project because they don't have any more applicants or the next highest rating applicant can't use $70,000 because their budget is $250,000, right? Maybe rating and ranking committees could say we would consider taking that money and
contingency, Sarah?
Contingency. However, that I was leading into that, we do need to come up with a state policy on what contingency means because we don't want anything that looks like supplanting. We want to ensure that their budget and their match is being spent before any more funds. So it's a more complicated conversation than just saying let's backfill
the
extra cost, but we've got to ensure that match funds are spent also, and we don't have a state policy on that.
So in the last year, I was by myself on this decision. We didn't get a lot of support on it, but we did allow contingency because of the freight price increase.
Right.
And
so that means what? It stays in a...
You can put a certain amount for a project. You can list it as contingency in the budget. However, what Sarah is saying is when you get an application, when you get an initial application and that applicant has some sort of match, final application still has to show that exact same match, and we need to make sure that that match funding is spent before the contingency funding.
Before they draw the contingency.
So that we can show HUD we're not supplanting. But we're trying to come up with things. It's just been really difficult.
But
if you do have contingency, though, it does have to be stated in your rating and ranking that it has been
approved.
Do you have a recommendation, like 10%? Contingent, or like
what
percentage of the project that you would.
Well, so what we could do, and to kind of address what we're talking about, is we could, as a staff, start looking at some various policy recommendations for, like, hey, what are we going to do about projects that, like, their bid was good and valid, it was a great procurement, but then, for whatever reason, by the time they actually got bids back, it jumped over. So we could start looking at some policy recommendations. 10%, 15%, whatever, and we could report back in March.
Well, and my comment to the extra contingency is that every construction project has a contingency built into their project, and giving them more contingency beyond what they asked for could be questionable, but then on the other hand, if your rating and ranking says, you know, we're going to put all our extra money that isn't allocated to a project in single-family housing, they could first look at projects that in the area funded previously that had gone over budget and analyzed what their actual need is now. We use some of that funding to write hit rank policies and then put the extra into single family housing, or, you know, there are things that you can do.
And that could be a good formula, because that's going to be pretty much across the board, every county, every area. The money, if it's gone up 15% just because of what COVID did or whatever, and then say, okay, now we've got an overall a contingency of 15% for all these jobs, if they don't use it, their job did come in on budget, and they don't have to worry about it, and that money can be rolled somewhere else.
Or really, we really, 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 really try to keep as much decision making at the local level as we can. So if it's something that you are interested in, add it to your policies and procedures, send it to us. We'll make sure that there's nothing going against any sort of federal regulation. Yeah, but you do have to have it outlined. It can't be something that you come up with.
Right, absolutely.
And we can put together those recommendations, just like, hey, here's some ideas, and you get to the areas.
But we work on a new maybe ranking.
Correct.
The other piece of policy that we do need to work on is emergency funding, too. So it's the rating and ranking responsibility of that committee, that areas committee, to determine what would qualify as an emergency, and they're very, very loose. So we need to have that. Let me just circle back and ask. That's above my pay grade to make that decision, but
Well, that's if we want to do it. Ryan?
Question will be no. Do we have enough business to make it worth me?
That was my question, but that whole day meeting the next day.
They're a lot of fun, don't get me. We've done some really fun activities, and we've also done some really educational projects. But at the same time, if we're going to be taking 3 days to travel and meet and sightsee, it is really enough business that the board needs to do to make it worth for them.
Yeah, I was going to ask if we could just like maybe do it earlier and do it as part of the spring meeting or something.
It would be maybe move from March to April just so it's a little warmer and we don't have to wear as thick coats, or we could head south
and have the spring meeting somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's an idea if we wanted to.
I think, you know, if you're interested in bringing up other options here, ready to ranking committee and then coming back together and discussing what other areas are doing concerning contingency, additional funding to those projects already funded or emergency projects. Those things really do fall under the rating and ranking committees, and some things should be probably more consistent throughout the state. I'm just offering it up as this that people discuss.
I like the idea that we do like a March meeting. We've already, the spring meeting is a lot more than the fall meeting. We cover a lot. So we definitely got a full day.
What comes the cost of that? You got mileage for those who travel and whatnot, and we've got the locals. So the state covers each of those.
So the AOG reps would charge their admin and signing grant
that
they get.
Right? Oh, yours should be covered under yours.
Right.
And then the state would cover for the board members that travel and.
And just one reminder for the board member who is homesick, you don't need 50 miles one way away from the location of the meeting. You do not get a hotel stay.
You have to stay at home.
Can't stay that's
and again, the hosting AOG with come up with, you know, an activity the night before is what we've done in the past. Visit some of your projects and say, like Ryan said, those have been very educational. So like, oh, this is what this county's doing. It's different across the state. You look at what different areas are doing based on their needs of their area. So,
and it's amazing what we do. We did a tour here a couple months ago, all four counties. Just
seeing these
objects and stuff. And just getting the hands on
me makes a lot of difference. So you suggest we start over, which I agree with that. So we're looking at this list. Okay. Where will we start? Six counties at the top of the list for whatever reason.
Can I throw a wrench in this?
Yes.
So you're dealing with taxpayer money to begin with. And is this just a vacation for some of the employees, or is it really necessary? What are you going to accomplish? And I know myself personally, I don't get paid for any of this. I mean, even though I'm a commissioner, this isn't a full-time job, but it is a full-time job with all the meetings that I'm assigned to. And I look at these things and I think, you know, is this really necessary? We are dealing with taxpayer money. Are we taking money from our projects by doing this? And I don't know.
Great point. It's not needed. It's not needed.
You know, if you're going to accomplish something, if you're going to teach me something, or give me some information, fine. But can I do that up here or down there or whatever? You know, but and I'll use this as an example today. You know, it's a good meeting. We went over a lot of information. We started at 10 o'clock. It's now 11:30. Uh, I'm just throwing that out.
These meetings should be virtual?
No, I'm absolutely not. There's nothing worse than a virtual meeting because you can't get nothing accomplished. But I'm saying, you spent an hour and a half here today, and now you're talking about having a 2 or 3 day affair.
Yeah.
Throwing it out.
I think that's why we of COVID, one reason that.
Suggestion. What if we do? What if we go back up the top of the list, but we have that ALG put together a 15-20 minute picture presentation and bring it to this meeting here in the spring or in the fall. Maybe we make it in the fall. You say the spring meeting is a little more loaded up, and we have, you know, they go around and take pictures of their projects and do a little presentation.
And what's showing off of what we can mountains too, maybe, per meeting.
Yeah.
Per March.
Maybe we could do one per meeting. We do one in the fall and one in the spring.
Yeah.
Mark, maybe you could, to go on top of what he's saying, you could still go to a different ALG each time. Meet at 10 o'clock. You can travel there by 10 o'clock. You could have whatever you want to do in that area and close her down by 3, 4 o'clock and still hit the rush hour traffic.
And just limit ourselves one day.
Yeah, one day.
And then I think just the 3 days was kind of
an
exaggeration of how long the meeting is. We usually take about half a day of the second day. We travel in the afternoon and in the evening. And we have the little dinner, and then we start in the morning of the following day, and we're done by 12, 1 o'clock, and we are back home. And so it's not a two, three, four days affair.
But you can still do all that in one day.
Yeah.
Well,
I think what I meant was that there's travel involved, too. So right. you're spending time on the road, even if you're not in the actual meeting.
Yeah, how many came up last night for this meeting? If you're out in southern Utah, be here by 10 o'clock, you can't leave that morning to come from St. George.
Honestly, you guys, I didn't come up today. Well, I had to have a meeting in St. George till 10 o'clock last night for a new jail we're trying to build, but I checked room prices and the Sheraton, I normally get a government rate at the Sheraton for $125-$130. It was $500. And it seems like all the rooms in Salt Lake were very expensive, and I just didn't want to justify. Plus, I wouldn't have got up there till 2 in the morning. So that's why I'm on Zoom today.
Maybe, we've been talking a lot, but maybe we could look at going to another ALG to have a conversation to do our business there just one day like we've been doing here. And then that ALG shows off what they've been doing in there.
In a PowerPoint or a presentation that's part of the meeting.
That's kind of a sense that this is like what I've been hearing instead of a half day bus ride forward.
What if, we used some CDBG money on a new fire station in Newcastle, West Iron County, and I'd be happy to host, maybe we all travel down south and we have our meeting in that new fire station, that's just an idea.
I was drunk. And they want to ride the fire truck. Would that be possible?
I want to find out.
Absolutely.
Right? Don't make me swim up.
That's something we could do through our policies if the board wanted to meet in another AOC.
Yeah, we'll do whatever you want to do. This has just been a standing agenda item since Cheryl left that's always been on the March agenda, and we just left it on just so that
there hasn't been interest in doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if there's still no interest, that's fine too.
And then just from Paul, sorry, I'm blanking on your last name.
Cousins.
I mean, like you already said that you were open to the idea of traveling to different entities to do our March business.
Matt is interested in that too.
Matt, oh, Matt. Okay. Beth, just if you want to do it, just let us know. We'd be happy to do what we need to pull it off.
Do you guys want to decide today? We need to find our next meeting date anyway. You want to pick a location, you can.
Go to a different rather than here.
Tim, is your building going to be done?
Yep.
March, April?
Thursday, 21st?
28th.
Let's see. Yeah, that could be interesting. The 21st is water user seminar. Any of you go to water user seminar down in St. George?
Yes. I'm there every year.
Yeah, so that might, you got a 4-day away.
But most of the time, Paul, isn't the main stuff on Friday and Saturday?
Well, I got it calendared Monday, Tuesday, to Wednesday.
I'm trying to remember. Water users, I think it starts like on Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday's like half a day.
I got it, and I don't know whether mine's after, and I've got it in the calendar for next year, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the 18th to the 20th.
How about 28th then?
28th works. Thursday the 28th?
What
about the 14th?
14th? I'm good. Any questions? Any conflicts? Tentatively scheduled for Thursday, March 14th at South at Six County, right? Wherever you guys end up.
I've got a meeting on the 14th.
What time?
Yeah, what time's your meeting?
7 that night.
So we'd be there. You wouldn't have to travel.
Right?
Well,
right.
It'll be in Saskatoon. So you'll be done though by then.
Yeah, we'll be done by one or so.
It's not going to be much different than this meeting right now.
Okay, we're good.
Okay. So so we're still set for that? Thursday, March 14th at 6th County. Does that do what we need? Do we need a motion for that or just?
And where is 6th County? Where are we?
Richfield.
Okay. Give me
we'll make sure the address is on the calendar.
Right. Okay. And how far is Richfield from right here?
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
You go down through the beautiful part of Utah, you can go down I-80 and turn it 70 and across.
Yeah.
And can I say you need to do an ATV tour?
Because that's further down.
Yeah, you don't go that far.
Your ATV trails are amazing. So.
You go down the back path.
Or you can turn in Nephi and come down through
LeBanc. No, they're more than that.
Down the pretty part of Utah.
I'm definitely right now.
March 14th, you'll be good.
Yeah, we go through Richfield.
Anyway. Okay.
I didn't know before I started.
Do we have a problem with
you? Call him back. I'll call him.
It's been for right now we're perfect for one of the questions.
So why don't you check with them? Any other business that anybody wants to bring up?
I do have a question. So when we're doing our single phone rehab, we're trying to get to EMI in the state. We're having to go to other counties that are nearby. Are those updated now for Utah, Wasatch, and Summit?
The area median income?
Uh-huh. So the increment is what's getting in his email. I sent them out to the family. Yeah, but for my email, it was about around June 1st and again on June 15th with the county mayor.
But are you asking because Utah is an entitlement county that they do it, Utah County? Thought did you only include non-entitlement counties?
I don't know. Julie, is Utah in our entitlement counties?
They are not in our low-water, high income limits. They're not in there.
But I bet the Utah County is on that list, though.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm just saying, Katie, who does our thing, was having to go to JUAP to get the...
That's to the Olin office.
Oh, that's Olin. Okay.
That was a question I raised on that one.
Yeah. Okay, so the Olin Walker. Sorry, I stand corrected.
All right. Any others?
That's it.
Any other items?
Yeah, sounds like there is. I don't apologize.
If there's nothing else, we can set the motion to adjourn, and Zach will get lunch here as quick as he can.
Motion to adjourn, do we have a second?
Over here, did you get that? Motion here, second over here. All those in favor? An opportunity to visit, you share your projects you're doing in your county.
I will get
one time, please.
Yeah.
Does it go in with the engineer question? No, for the...
Oh, for the workshop, sorry. Yeah, let me talk about the...
Okay, so it's
we have a huge last week.
Well, that's...
So then maybe...